Maseches Pesachim Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph writes that the reason why we make a bracha on Matzoi Shabbos of Bori Ma'ori Ha'esh is because that is Tchilas Briyaso. That is when light was created. What does he mean, that is when light was created? Don't we know there was already light in the world before Matzoi Shabbos? So the answer goes as follows. The Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah tells us the following story. Vayivarech Elokim as Yom HaShvi'i. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a blessing to the Yom HaShvi'i, to Shabbos? So we all understand that to mean Vayikadesh Oso, that the bracha was that he was Mekadesh Es HaShabbos, that he gave us the great gift of Shabbos. But that is not what the Medrash says. It says that he was Baruch Be'or, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a blessing into the seventh day of the week, which was the blessing of light. What do you mean the blessing of light? So the Medrash tells us the following story. Kivin Sheshaka Chama, as we know, the first day of creation, Adam HaRishon makes a terrible mistake. He goes and he eats from the Eitz Hadas, and all of a sudden that night, Shaka Chama B'Matzoi Shabbos, all of a sudden the sun begins to set, as it does every other night, but Adam HaRishon did not know that that's what happens every night. Hischil HaChoshech Mimashmesh Esuba. The world was turning darker and darker and darker as the sun was setting. Bo'os HaShah Nisyari Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon says, what's going to be with me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to leave me in a dark world now? Is that it? The light will never shine anymore? Ma'as Elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did Hashem do? He wasn't going to stop the sun from setting. He wasn't going to make the moon shine more than it did. But rather, Ma'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zimun Lo Shnei Ra'afim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him two stones. V'hikishan Zebazeh. And he taught him how to rub them against one another. V'yatzis ha'or ubirech aleha. And light was now created because of the sparks that came from the two stones being rubbed together. And Adam HaRishon made a bracha on them. And from there, says the Medrash, Rabbi Shmuel taught us, M'pnei ma mevorchen ala or b'matzoi Shabbos. Why do we make a bracha bori ma'ori ha'esh on matzoi Shabbos? M'pnei shehu tchilas b'riyaso. Because that is when light was created. So what we mean is, that is when Adam HaRishon was taught about his ability to bring light into the world, which my father always says in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. Why is it that in the beginning of Chumash, we go through the whole story of creation? Why is it important for us? Why is it relevant? So he said, the Rav Soloveitchik said, because Mahu Afata, Redu Ba'aretz V'chivshua, we have an obligation to go into the world and to conquer all different facets of creation, all the facets of the world, all the understandings of nature. That is part of man's obligation in this world. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu left something over for Adam HaRishon himself to learn, that he was able to find that there was a chachma. When you take two parts, two elements of the world, and you rub them together, you can create something, and that is our job, to be creative and to have the opportunity to further enhance the world that we were created into. And that is really what we give a bracha about on Matzoi Shabbos when we say Bari Ma'ari Ha'esh. So the Rashba asks, again, why is it that we have this obligation to make a bracha on the light that was created on Matzoi Shabbos? As we said, Adam HaRishon was given that ability to figure out how to make light. Why is it that on every day of creation, we don't make a bracha for what was created on that day? As we know, one day of creation, the fish were created, and one day the animals, and one day the light, and one day the sun, and one day the moon, and one day all the other things. How come every morning we don't wake up and make a bracha? On Monday, we're going to make the bracha for what was created on Monday, and on Tuesday, for what was created on that day. How come only on Matzoi Shabbos we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the creation of Or, which was created on Matzoi Shabbos? That's the question of the great Gedolei HaRishonim. And the Rashba answers the following. And he says, because since we know that on Shabbos we're not allowed to make use of fire, so now we've circumvented the problem, we figured out how to have a fire that stays on the whole Shabbos. But back in the days when they used to have logs, once the log burnt out, that was it. You didn't have any fire on Shabbos. There was no hot food. And therefore he says that since on Shabbos we're not allowed to make use of fire because we're not allowed to ignite a fire, and Matzoi Shabbos is the first opportunity that we have to take advantage of this gift of fire, therefore he says it's as if it's reinstated. Every Matzoi Shabbos the Ribbono Shel Olam comes once again and says, now you have the gift of light again, now you have the gift of fire, now that for 25 hours you've suspended your use of this incredible gift, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back every Matzoi Shabbos and says, make a bracha once again, because this is your opportunity to appreciate the great gift of what fire and what light actually is. And therefore, says the Rashba, you ever wonder why it is that on every Matzoi Yom Tif, we don't make a bracha Bori Mari Ha'esh and Havdalah, and yet on Matzoi Yom HaKippurim, which is also Yom Tif, why is it that we make a bracha Bori Mari Ha'esh then, which we do not recite on any other Matzoi Yom Tif going into Chol? Explains the Rashba, the reason why is very simple. Every other Yom Tov, we have the right to make use of the fire. As we know, Ochel Nefesh, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, and therefore, it's not something that was reinstated after Yom Tov goes out. However, on Yom HaKippurim, as we know, Ochel Nefesh is Aser, you're not allowed to cook on Yom HaKippurim, and therefore he says, that is the reason why on Matzah Yom HaKippurim, the same way we do on Matzah Shabbos, since we've suspended our appreciation for the light over the last 25 hours of Yom HaKippurim, as we do on Shabbos, therefore we make a bracha of Bori Mari HaEsh at the conclusion of Yom Kippur, as we would on every Matzah Shabbos as well. So the Gemara brachas daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, when it describes the process of making Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos, the Gemara tells us the following rule. A mevarchin al haner, you're not allowed to make a bracha on the candle on Matzah Shabbos, ad shei osu la'oro. Now the Gemara is not sure exactly how do we translate those words. Ad shei osu la'oro means until you have some sort of benefit from the light. What exactly does that mean? Says the Gemara, machlokis amaroim, how to understand that passage. Rabbi Huda Amarav says, not that you have to actually get benefit from the light, not that you have to stand there and be able to read something next to the light, but rather he says, kol sharoi lehenus me'or, as long as the light is powerful enough that if I wanted to do some sort of activity next to it, I would have the ability to do so, that is a good enough candle to make a bracha mori mori ha'esh. However, if it's not even light enough, meaning you have such a tiny little light that you really can't do anything next to it, says Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, that would not be sufficient. On the other hand, Rav is of the opinion that you have to stand close in proximity to the candle, that you actually physically derive benefit from the candle as it's being lit. Not just that theoretically you would be able to benefit, but you have to actually be able to. And therefore, my father has the practice, and this is, I saw Rav Moshe Feinstein, they quote, had the same practice. My father always turns the lights off by Havdalah, in order that we should really be able to have benefit from the candle that we light. And we're showing that this candle was lit for the purpose of having benefit and having an appreciation of what the light is on Matzah Shabbos. Therefore, there are many great Gedolim who say you should turn the lights off by Havdalah in order that you should really maximize your hana, your benefit that you have from the candle itself. Now, the Gemara says, how light does it have to be? What do I have to be able to do next to the light? It depends. You know, if I'm writing a letter, if I'm typing on the computer, I have to be able to see very well. If I'm doing something, I'm pouring something into a big bucket, I don't have to see so well. So, what kind of light do you need? So the Gemara has a few opinions, and the Gemara says, you have to have enough light that you'll be able to see the difference between a sela and a pundion, which was two different coins in the times of the Gemara. Now, who knows what a sela is? Who knows what a pundion is? I would assume most of us have never seen such a thing. So if you go to the Living Torah Museum in Brooklyn, which is an amazing museum, I went there a number of times, and when I went with my father, he showed us the sela and the pundion. Not my father, the Rabbi Deutsch, who runs the museum, showed us. He let us hold a sela and a pundion. You look at the two coins, they are almost identical. It's like a horse on the back of one of them that has a crown on his head, and the other one is a horse without a crown on his head. And that, says the Gemara, is how light it has to be by Havdalah in order to be able to see the difference between a sela and a pundion, which means you have to actually be able to have a real light, which is why the Shulchan Aruch says we're supposed to have an avuka. You're supposed to have not just one little match, but you're supposed to have something which creates a lot of light, more than just a very little candle. So how do we paskin? Says the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, we adopt the opinion of Rabba, which is that ad she'osa la'ora mamish, you have to actually derive benefit from the candle in order to be able to make the bracha bori ma'ari ha'esh. Otherwise, you cannot recite this bracha. So the Vilna Gaon has a very nice comment there on his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. He says that we have a pasuk kol atzmosai tamarna Hashem michamocha, which means all of my body parts gather together and join with one another to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Vilna Gaon, the Medrash says that every body part is used at some point in life to praise Hashem or to do a mitzvah. So we use our hands for putting on tefillin, for shaking lulav. We use our hands for all kinds of mitzvahs. We use our legs to go daven, to run, and to do different things. We use our eyes to look at, whatever, to do all kinds of things. We do mitzvahs with everything, every body part. So how do we use our tzipar naim, says the Vilna Gaon? When do we ever use our fingernails? So he says, by malikas ha'of, in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to sometimes need their fingernails in order to shech the carbon, as we know. But he says, another opportunity that we have to use our fingernails is by Havdalah. As the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Arizal, we know that by Havdalah, the practice is we put our fingernails next to the fire. We're able to see the distinction between the shine of the nail and the coarse skin that we have, and we show that there's a distinction between the two different kinds of skin, the two different kinds of the body, and therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, that's the way we fulfill the mitzvah with our fingernails. There's no part of the body that is not going to be used throughout our experience as Jews during the year. Now, as we know, we have three different categories of brachas that we recite throughout the year. In general, we have number one, a birchas hanenin. We have number two, a birchas hashevach. And we have number three, a birchas hamitzvah. What are these three categories? So number one, a birchas hanenin means when one has to make a bracha upon getting some sort of benefit. So for example, I eat something, I drink something, I'm deriving a clear benefit, I have to recite a bracha. When is that bracha supposed to be recited? The famous Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Hei says, that whenever a person derives a benefit, you have to make sure to make a bracha before you have that hanah. So you have hanah from smelling something, you make a bari mina b'samen beforehand. You have hanah from having a drink, you have to make a bracha shehakol niyabidvar before. You have something to eat, you have to make a bari mina mizanos, or whatever bracha is appropriate. That's with regard to birchas hanen. What about by a birchas hashevach? So the Gemara says, a birchas hashevach is when I'm so overwhelmed by some facet of creation, that's such an amazing thing that I'm experiencing, so I make a bracha, birchas hashevach, I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not thank you for giving me this, but rather I recognize your glory, I recognize your grandeur, your greatness, by the experience that I'm having. So I go to the Yam HaGadol, says the Gemara, you go to the Mediterranean Sea, you make a special bracha because you're overwhelmed by what's in front of you. You go to the Grand Canyon, you see some sort of amazing sight, you make a bracha because of the experience that you had. Now, when is that bracha supposed to be recited? When it's a birchas hashevach? Now, obviously, the Rishonim say, you make that bracha after you've experienced the great sight that you've seen. After you see the Grand Canyon, you make the bracha. After you see the ocean, you make the bracha, not before you go. After you're overwhelmed by the experience, that's when you respond and you say a birchas hashevach. So this leads to a major discussion in the Rishonim. How exactly do we understand the bracha on Motzei Shabbos of Borei Ma'orei Ha'ish? Is this a birchas hanenin? We say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the ability to have light in our lives, for the ability to have fire in our lives. That's what Adam HaRishon created on Motzei Shabbos that very first week. Is that really what this bracha is? Or is it a birchas hashevach? We are so overwhelmed by the opportunity that we have to appreciate the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all that He created in the Bria, and therefore we make a Bari Mari HaEsh. The Rishonim have a major discussion about how to properly understand what this bracha is all about. So the Ritva and the Ran and the Ramban and the Rosh and almost all the Rishonim say this is clearly a birchas.
Do both?
What does it mean both?
Before.
So the Rishonim say, most of the Rishonim say that this really is a birchas hashevach. How can it be a birchas hanenin? Do you make a bracha every time you walk into a room and you see the lights are on? Oh, let's make a bari mari ha'esh. Of course you don't do that. We make it once a week. Why do you only make it once a week? Why don't you say, make a shehakol niyabidvar once a week, that's good enough, and that will count for the whole week. Obviously it's not a birchas hanenin, otherwise every time you saw the light and you experienced how lucky you are to have that light, you would make a birchas hanenin, but we don't do that. So it must be it's a birchas hashevach. And once a week we stop ourselves and we say, thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the incredible gift that you gave the world of light, of having fire, of being able to cook with fire, of making this creation that Adam HaRishon made. We make a Birchas HaShevach once a week, say the Rishonim, that's what it's all about. And because of that, many Rishonim say it would make sense that the same way by any other Birchas HaShevach, you first have to be overwhelmed by the incredible thing that you are making the bracha on, like the lightning, the thunder, the great mountain, the great ocean, all the brachas that we make, which are Birchas HaShevach, you first have to experience it, and only after do you respond with the bracha. So too over here, many Rishonim say that you first have to put your hands by the fire and experience the light, and then you make the Bari Mari HaEsh in response to the great opportunity that you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the incredible gift of the fire. This is a big discussion in the Rishonim. It's not exactly clear what the Psak is, but it's a major discussion. There are those, like you said, there are those who try to satisfy both opinions. So they put their hands in front of the fire before they make the bracha, in order that it should be a Birchas HaShevach, and then they do it once again afterward to also have it as a Birchas HaNenin, in order that you can try and satisfy both opinions. Not so hard to do that. Just one final comment in that is, I remember as a child, I once asked my father, what is this that we do like this, like that? Everybody does all kinds of different things. So he told me, I think I'll pee the Arizal, that there are three different things we're supposed to do when we make Havdalah. One is you're supposed to see the difference between, when you say Bar Mar, hey, you're supposed to see the difference between the shine of your fingernails and the skin that you have. So you go like this, you hold your hands up. Then it says also that you're supposed to see the reflection of your fingers onto your palms. That's what we do as well. People go like this. And then the minig is you release your hands to go like this to show that there's a heter malacha. That's what my father always told us, that you're supposed to go like this, open your hands at the end of Avdallah, to show that now we're mutar b'malacha. After we say Avdallah, we have no more restriction from Shabbos any longer. Now that Shabbos is over, we have the opportunity to take advantage of all the different things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world. And the first thing we start with is the Eish that Adam HaRishon had the opportunity to create on the very first Matzai Shabbos of his life.